Welcome everyone to the December 8th meeting of Energy, Environment, and Sustainability Committee. And if the clerk would kindly call the roll.
Chair Manager Green.
Present.
Deputy Chair Gina Hansen.
Here.
Legislator Phil Erner.
Here.
Legislator Joseph Maloney.
Here.
Legislator Eric Stewart.
Here.
Five committee members are present.
Excellent. Thank you.
And Chair Bartels is also present.
Yes, indeed. Okay. I would like to start with a Pledge of Allegiance. Everyone please rise.
You need one?
I have it. Got one.
Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. And we have three sets of minutes to approve. I just read them over. Before I ask for a motion, are there any additions or corrections or for the minutes of October 6th?
Is that because we didn't have quorum last month when we did the minutes?
A motion was not made to approve last month's meeting. Okay. Minutes.
Hearing no changes, I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes of October 6th.
Ready.
Okay. And a second?
No, I can't.
You can't also
No, I can't.
Second.
I was already on like the next one.
Oh, Eric can second.
I thought you were first.
Okay.
Oh,
good. All right. All in favor? Please signify.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries. I wonder if we could block approval of minutes for November and December. Any changes for minutes for November or December? All right. I'm going
to
ask for a motion to approve both.
Okay.
I think I saw, Phil, did you wave that you were?
Tracy did.
I motioned to block. I motioned to block the two, and Phil seconded.
Okay. And so if we block, then now we can.
Yeah. First, we have to vote on blocking.
Okay, we could have done two votes on the motion. Motion, vote on the block. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? All right. And on the motions to approve the minutes of November 5th and December 1st, 2022, all in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, motion carries. I keep thinking you're raising your hand over here. All right. Let's see, we would now like to have department reports and then to accommodate needs of the chair and others, we will be taking the resolutions a little bit out of order. But let's start with Department of Environment and the Reuse Innovation Center. And next.
Chair. Yeah. Good evening, everybody. first, I'll defer to Director.
I'm sorry.
First, I'll defer to Director Smith for a discussion of electric vehicles.
Okay, please.
Okay. So I was asked by Legislator Erner to give some feedback on the electric vehicles that we have in our department that we received this year. We have two Mach-E's and a Bolt. And we've just got a couple of hybrids, but those aren't in use yet. But just to say that our department was somewhat skeptical about how these would work. We didn't have a lot of staff who had familiarity with use of the electric vehicles. And so we asked Nick to come to a staff meeting and talk to us about just familiarizing everybody with the use and just some of the changes we have to do and how we function with using those vehicles. And I have to report that after a lot of people were bah humbug, they actually like them a lot, and they drive nicely, and they're getting a lot of use. They're the go-to vehicle for the staff are just taking them out, and thank you for coming because you really helped, and the staff at the Department of Environment answered a lot of our questions. We've made some changes to our charging stations, and it has made it easier. We do have one continued issue, which we've been working on, which is that we need a vehicle for long distance. We sometimes have to do extraditions, and if it's a, like maybe to Ohio or someplace that you could drive in 10, 12 hours, that might be easier to drive to than getting planes and bringing somebody back in custody. Those we cannot do with an electric vehicle. You can't have somebody in custody and be stopping for 4 or 5 hours to charge multiple times. That's not going to work, and there is some difficulty getting what we need in the vehicles. You really need a sedan that's spacious enough to have a barricade. There's like a barrier in the vehicle, so that we're still working on. So that is a real concern.
Why not just borrow a sheriff vehicle?
I don't know. You mean a gas-powered sheriff's vehicle?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose.
I mean, just for how many extra, how long?
Oh, these are fairly rare. We have gas vehicles, but our vehicles are high mileage, so they're going to need to be replaced. I assume the same thing will happen with the sheriff's office at some point. But
okay.
Yes.
I mean, just for now.
Yes.
If it's a couple times a year.
Yeah. But I don't know why we can't have our own. But yes, we could
do
that.
Well, a car just for 2 or 3 times a year, just borrow one from another department.
We could in a pinch.
$5.
Sure.
And we're not going to act on the resolution right at this moment, but I just want to...
Manna, the chair had a quick question, too.
If I may, Manna?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, you know, the technology and the charging is changing really quickly. You know, I mean, I think it would involve a real conversation with the department, but the high-speed chargers aren't 4 or 5 hours, they're 20 minutes. You have to navigate along the charging route, but particularly the kind of driving that you're talking, where you're wholesale trying to get to Ohio as quickly as possible, they are along all those major highway routes. So I suspect that this conversation is going to be less and less relevant as all these car manufacturers are transitioning to full electric. They'll have the infrastructure for the high speed charging is going to be built out, which is much faster than any home charging. You know, the fact that the home charging is the time you're talking about, more like 7 hours for an overnight, but the high speed chargers that are on the side of the road with the alternating speed of current are in the range of 20 minutes, 25 minutes.
Elon's on it.
And of course, we can't guarantee where it is we're going to have to go, and depending, they, you know, could have their correctional facility in the middle of nowhere. We don't know, but we would like to have something that is an alternative hybrid vehicle that'll meet those needs, and right now we can't find one that's going to fit. And just also keep in mind that we still have the problem of what our typical day-to-day practice of people who have to do a caseload of home checks are going out and would normally do, you know, 8 hours of driving, and we can't do that now. We're doing shorter stints at a time.
How many miles are you talking? Like, what's the average mileage that someone puts on a car in a day, the average?
Well, it's a big county. I can't tell you for sure, but if I'm driving from here to, let's say, my caseload's in Ellenville, and we also hope to have cars in Ellenville and New Paltz, but the staff might take a car from here. They're going to see people in Stone Ridge and Rosendale and down to Ellenville and then out to Pine Bush and, you know, I don't know, it could be quite a bit. But the limit is around 200, 240 on our cars. So it puts you in that spot of really having to plan it in a way that limits. And then we always have the worry that some scenario comes up where you have to take care of something that might require arresting someone. And then you've got, again, somebody in a vehicle you transport and go to a different location. So it just limits how we do work. We're trying to be creative and thoughtful, and that was one of the things we got coached about, is you have to plan your trips differently and have forethought into how you're going to do it. So
I am going to ask for a motion out of order on Resolution 635. That way, I'm kind of concerned that if we get to it later and you're no longer here, we won't be able to ask you questions. So, could
motion
I?
Motion to discuss.
Move for discussion. Great. Thank you. Second?
Second.
All right. And this is Resolution 635, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation, the DEC, to accept grant funds under the 2022 Municipal Zero Emission Vehicle Rebate Program. So it's for accepting grant money. But are there other questions or concerns about this resolution?
So we're moving on?
I'm sorry.
We're moving on from our discussion that ended?
Yeah.
Okay. I just felt like there's I feel like probation is having some level of logistical difficulty with the vehicles we've provided them. She's even asking for another vehicle. I wonder if you also think you might need that vehicle when you're anticipating to use, besides just long distance, but on certain days here in the county, you would probably want to hop in that vehicle, which is why you're asking for it as well. And it just bothers me sometimes how we move on when there's an issue at hand. I just feel like, I don't know, I feel like we should further, I don't know if we're going to solve it here, but obviously there's an issue in probation a little bit with the vehicles that we've given you, and when are we going to get around to getting them where they need to be, if not at least planning right now when we're going to discuss this again? They have issues. So what do we do? I all of a sudden we were on to something else, is what I'm pointing out.
I mean, I think that you raised a good point. I was thinking the same thing about how do we approach this holistically, not just for that department, but recognizing both the county's goals in transitioning to renewables, the state's goals in transitioning to renewables, and the private sector's stated plans to fully transition to electric vehicles. Many companies, GM and others, have already announced specific dates. So what I would suggest is that you schedule a time, and maybe it's at the next meeting, not just to have the Department of the Environment here, but to have a fleet management here to talk through this as a holistic, not just for one department, but just the bigger picture of how are we going to address this and what does it mean. And even the questions that I just asked the Commissioner of Probation about the mileage, I would assume that someone in fleet management is keeping track. I mean, that's what our fleet management is supposed to be doing, keeping track of the mileage,
well,
is able to
get them in here to
get
special
needs
sure
there who needs to, they really do need to be a part of the conversation.
How are the hybrid vehicles? Are they any better or?
They're good. We like them. We had an Outlander for a couple years now.
Would a hybrid work as far as those long distance trips?
So I would love if it could, but what I'm being told is that the hybrid SUVs is what we, Nick might be able to speak to this a little better because we've had some discussion about this, that we can't put those barriers in those vehicles. They're, for some reason, can't mount them right, but you were able to find
Yeah, I think the goal is finding a sedan that's a plug-in hybrid that can have the cages put, I don't know if that's the right word, but cages
right
put
word.
Into it to meet the purpose and also be a plug-in hybrid.
Okay,
so there aren't a lot of them on the
do
market.
Do they exist?
Yes.
There's
then what is that, how long does it take to find one if they do exist? I mean, this is something that we should get on.
Right.
Because this is law enforcement, and they're in danger at times. They need a separation. They need the ability to draw long distance, drive long distances, and this is just not something that should even take months. We probably should have thought about this beforehand. I mean, this was law enforcement. You know, you got DPW and the sheriff's department and probation here that at times, unfortunately, it's just we as much as we want to be 100% electric. At this point, we have to realize that we might not be for some of these services, especially law enforcement and DPW when you're talking about plows and everything else. So what are we going to do here over the next couple of weeks? Can we identify a hybrid if we have to take some of these 100% electric vehicles out and put them in different departments, sell them and get you a couple of hybrids? But let's make sure probation is functioning properly.
Go ahead.
You know, I mean, I think that, first of all, this isn't a... I mean, I think it's an important conversation, but it's not one that was on the agenda, and you definitely need fleet here for that conversation as well. And what I heard was that you're happy with the all-electric, surprisingly so, that it's actually the vehicle that most of the department is going to, just that it doesn't work potentially in the very rare cases of long-haul extraditions, which I don't know how many of those did you do last year?
I took it as on a day-to-day basis, maybe not every day, but you have
you never know,
officers
right?
that are going to be doing quite a bit of travel around the county.
Right.
It's more than just that one.
So there's, yes,
yeah.
Exactly. That there's the two issues. The one is a big issue of an extradition, and those can be three a year, could be none a year. They could all be flying. So that might happen. We just don't know. But that is
that
a definite
particular
thing.
Situation. I was okay with just borrowing a vehicle from the sheriff's department.
It's,
but then you were describing other things where it kind of was hindering your day-to-day
right.
operations at times.
So with the size of the county and the amount of work we have to do in the field, we either have to change the way we do that in order to accommodate that, or you know, it creates some problems with you just can't do the work the same way.
Or get different vehicles. I mean, there are other vehicles with longer ranges. Ranges
yes.
for electric vehicles now go up to 500 miles in the high end.
I think
so. Let's get the fleet manager here, and in the meantime, maybe by next month, let's identify a couple of hybrids or some other electric vehicles, and if we got to get you, swap you out a vehicle or two over the next couple of months, let's do that.
We are due.
I'm going to call
on
legislator Erner,
the
and then I would like to call the question.
Back to 6:35.
Because we will have another in-depth conversation.
We can get this on the agenda and invite the fleet manager, Nick, and Nancy back next month.
Not Nancy.
I'm sorry.
I'm retiring. That's why
I thought I heard that. And then
I don't think it's probably as easy as just borrowing a vehicle. I mean, you'd have to plan way in advance. I mean, I'm sure that the Sheriff's Department has plans for this.
Once
vehicle.
Or twice a year.
I don't know if that's
we could get a vehicle
really
from the Sheriff's Department.
The
but,
best
solution. So, but next month it'll be on the agenda. We'll have the new head of probation and Nick and the fleet manager. We'll invite the fleet manager as well, and then we'll try to get right on this.
Is there any reason, this is accepting grant money, is there any reason not to act on that tonight?
No. We have went back to the...
Yep.
We had an update from the probation because they just got one of those vehicles. It's got,
okay.
I don't think we're...
All right,
yeah,
so...
No.
Yeah.
Are
I don't recall the
yeah,
question.
I have a... Okay.
Go ahead.
I have a comment. And I think we're hearing here some of the shortcoming of just creating a box that says this is our environmental policy without considering the practicalities of the functions that we do as a county government. And I totally agree with that. I think when we have this bringing in Central Auto and all the any departments that want to participate in the conversation, I think it needs to be a circular discussion where the possibility that the functions that we do also evolve with the necessity of addressing the environmental concerns that we've identified. So what do I, in other words, if this is our green goal, and it says right here from the state DEC, 100% new passenger cars and trucks will be zero emissions by 2035, maybe that's not the right goal. Maybe it is. I don't know. That's what the state has said. But if that's set in stone, then that's one thing we're working with. If that's not, if the functions that our county government needs to do, if that's set in stone, that's another story. And if neither of them is, if they both can change, because actually what we need to do is have a government that does the people's work, then that's a third possibility. I would like us to entertain that one when we have the discussion. Thank you.
But this is to accept grant funding?
Mm-hmm.
So are people ready to act on this?
Let's vote on 635.
All right.
I'm
so I would like to call the question on resolution number 635. And I just read the resolution, so I'm not going to repeat that. But all in favor, please signify by saying aye. Anyone opposed?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries, and thank you, and there will be follow-up.
All right, thank you for letting me go early.
Director Vazda's report time, and I just want to say that, as I said in session the other night, I have found that ChargePoint is really unresponsive to very simple customer requests, and I know that you've had some difficulties in getting resolved, it sounds like. And what I just want to say is they have us over the barrel because that's the system that's in place, and we have to work with that, but I'm going to try to carve out some time to reach out to the higher-ups at ChargePoint, and if not, maybe write an op-ed or something, because you can't be trying to implement a system that works by 2035 and not have the intermediary service providers cooperate with the county and with members of the public. So, and anything else on this topic, and also any quick update on the Reuse Innovation Center or anything else from your report?
The Reuse Innovation Center project is in the early tasks of completion. They're doing initial public outreach, characterization of opportunities, and then starting to do prioritization of opportunities. The consultant and subconsultant have been meeting with stakeholders within the county, including the Resource Recovery Agency. Dave Bennett, one of the subconsultants, was on site yesterday and today, talking through some of the issues. And, we're expecting to have early deliverables completed for review through public workshops in the first quarter of next year.
Great.
And that's all I have.
And I'm hoping that there will be an opportunity to look at what is covered by the Reuse Innovation Center and what's being covered by the Zero Waste Implementation Planning and where that interface is with the agency. So I think with that, are you? Let's move to the UCRRA. Nice transition.
Yeah,
and welcome Angelina. And I think everyone has met Greg, and what's new with UCRRA?
Well, thank you for having us again. I did bring Ms. Angelina along to let her give you some update on some of the wonderful things she's working on right now for us. I will just give you one. I don't have much to share with you on it, but just to let you know, I am working on some mattress recycling stuff, so I just want to make you aware of it. I know it's something you've looked at in the past, is something that several people within the county are interested in. So just to let you know, it's on our radar. I'm having conversations with a mattress recycler here in the state and trying to formulate a plan that might work for us here in the county. So to get those things out of the landfill and recycle. So working on that. With that, I will defer to Ms. Angie and let her fill you in.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, and Greg asked me to speak about some of the work that we're doing in our outreach education department. So this time of year, things do kind of wind down as far as tours and classes and events as winter hits and the holidays hit. But we do try to meet people where they are in our outreach strategies. So this month, our focus is really around, you know, environmentally conscious holiday tips, everything from buying secondhand to sustainable gift wrapping. People are hosting dinner parties. We try to, you know, accommodate some food waste reduction tips or decorating or various recyclable things that are, you know, synergistic with the holiday season, like Amazon packaging and cardboard, things like that. So all of our outreach and social media and radio advertising and everything like that is really centered around the holidays, because unfortunately Americans generate about 20% more waste, municipal solid waste, during this holiday season between Thanksgiving and the New Year. So, you know, we want people to celebrate and know that there's a way to do that very sustainably with a couple little behavior changes. We do have one program scheduled for tomorrow. Myself and our recycling educator are going to be at the Town of Woodstock Public Library. We have an upcycled ornament craft activity for kids that we were invited to do, so we're really looking forward to that. Another thing we're working on, you know, for next year is a school engagement program called the Ulster County Recycling Ranger Program, where students and youth ambassadors can engage your school community through this type of civic engagement work, where they first learn about the environmental benefits of recycling, and they kind of learn how to know and show proper recycling structure in their school community. And then there's a points and reward system where then they put that knowledge into action through various activities that earn points towards different rewards. So we're putting this together. We're really excited. We have little, like, sheriff badges for the kids to wear that I think they're going to be really excited to work on. And we definitely want to be focusing on schools and youth engagement over the next year once this program's really wrapped up nicely. This time of year, as you know, a lot of the outreach is winding down, I kind of turn my focus into reporting and a lot of the required business that comes with that. So, you know, we'll pick back up with a lot of these things in the spring. And then, if there's time, I did bring a couple metrics from this year. So my board report this month will really focus on end of the year metrics for the impact and reach of our program. So I'd love the opportunity to share just a couple points of that with you. So throughout the whole year, our recycling outreach team completed 101.75 hours of direct community programming, including 25 classes, 26 facility tours. We did 9 tabling events, 7 interviews, 3 site visits, and 2 community installations at local libraries, which is a new program that we had launched. So that's great. That's definitely more than what we were able to do last year, now that we have a new recycling educator, and it's been wonderful working with her. So these programs reach approximately 726 adults and 313 children this year. Our newsletter that we publish every other month is over 4,000 subscribers now, over 1,000 followers on both Facebook and Instagram, and a combined reach this year of over 19,500 impressions on our social media platforms. So we're really trying to think creatively about engaging the public with the information that we want to give them. You know, it's not enough to just go to farmers markets and hand out reusable bags. We really have to think creatively about getting our message out. So we do radio programs, as I mentioned. We have over 70,000 estimated listeners in that radio audience. And then we do print advertising. We did a digital streaming campaign on OTT networks targeting Ulster County viewers on their connected devices that had over 136 impressions. over the 2 months that we did that, and lots of other details and information here, but all is to say that we are trying to be creative about how we reach people with the messages that we have, and that those messages are meaningful to where they're at in their lives, and that they stick. So I guess with that, I'll just thank you so much for this opportunity to speak with you, and I'm looking forward to any questions that you may have.
Yes, please.
Not a question, just thank you to both of you for the tour that we had a week or 2 weeks ago. It was great, great. Learned so much. Was very impressed with the whole operation. And I look forward to working with you and your education coordinator to bring some programs to the southern end of the county for schools and our libraries. And so thank you for all that you do and for allowing us to come in and learn so much. And top notch.
Thank
great.
You so much.
You're here.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. We have an open door. Any members as well that didn't make it to the tour, you know, we're just a phone call away. I'm just an email away. And I always love the opportunity to show people around and see behind the scenes what actually happens to your trash, right?
Yep. Yeah.
It doesn't go away. We're there to try to take care of it. So.
We truly were excited and honored to have you guys come. So, that was something that meant a lot, that the folks that could make it did come and, you know, allow us to communicate and get a better understanding of everything. I think that's important. So it was really enjoyable, and I consider it a great success, and I'm hoping you all will come back soon.
Absolutely.
And, you know.
And I want to just say that I believe Rosendale is going to sign on for the composting, for the food waste composting. I was delighted with a very positive response. And in the various conversations I've had, someone suggested Gardner, that they might be, and Hurley and Marbletown are already on board, and we certainly hope you succeed with that grant.
Actually, we got an email. Marbletown has said they aren't going
I'm
to
sorry.
Be able.
I'm sorry. I'm so hard of hearing, and I'm really
apologize.
Having trouble tonight. Go
we
ahead.
Actually got an email from Marbletown today saying that they were understaffed and didn't feel they'd be able to participate at this time. So I don't know if you heard that or not.
No.
By Eric's facial expression, I'm going to say he had not heard that.
no, I had not heard that.
we actually got an email today. We were a little disappointed to get that email, but I know everybody's struggling with staffing issues, so I don't know if that's something we can recover from and get them back on track or not, but just so you're aware, since you mentioned it.
You've made it so that there's really very little staffing required, just the system that you've designed, and I just want to acknowledge that. Sorry.
Hey, Greg, can I ask who that email came from?
You could, if I could remember. Can you remember who you received that from?
That would be the assistant to the town supervisor,
okay.
Michelle.
So that came from Michelle. Okay.
The assistant to the supervisor.
Go get him, Eric.
That was not our intention. I only let you know because you mentioned it, and it was like I didn't want there to be misunderstanding at all. So I know they were trying to work with us on it for sure.
Okay.
So
right.
You had a question.
I just real quick. What is the Facebook page for?
That'll be at UCRRA on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Please follow along. We have really wonderful, talented young woman who's working with me on the social media, and we have a lot of fun stuff on there. So please follow along.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else? I'd like to move on because I'm cognizant of the time. And I don't see anyone from environmental management. Nick?
I have some notes from Dave Haldeman, the chair of the Environmental Management Council. He wasn't able to make it tonight.
Please.
The council is evaluating the proposed changes to the interim release protocol for the Shokan Reservoir that is open for limited evaluation from the Shokan Releases Working Group through the middle of January. In keeping with the EMC's mission under the charter, that they're preparing a letter to send to the committee that would give suggestions and recommendations on how to proceed in making comments to the DEC and DEP around the proposed modifications to the IRP. And although that period is open through mid-January, I know that there's been a request from the executive's office to extend that comment period to the end of February. So that would give an opportunity for this committee to meet, evaluate what the council has advised, and then take some action if that is to be extended. And even if it isn't, I think they would still accept comments. Second note?
Yeah. Chair, sure, I have a question.
I just want to, just while I'm thinking of it, sorry to interrupt your point, I just would like to make the suggestion to the committee that, and Nick has sparked my thinking on this, that we should echo the executive statement, we in the legislature, to ask for the extension on the comment period. I'll have that drafted right away, but I'll circulate through this committee to start to all legislators, because I think the more that weigh in on that extension, the better. And this is something that we definitely need to weigh in on. So the more time, the more likely more people will have the opportunity.
And this is, help me, this is for the lead up to the eventual administrative hearing of the continuation of the next BD permit? Or does this have to do with the proposal that we received about them halting the turbidity?
The latter.
That's what we're all talking about.
So modifications to the interim release protocol, which is temporary until the Speedy's permit is adopted.
So, and we have the Environmental Management Council kind of leading point on recommendations and comments?
Yes. Yeah, they're considering some of the issues that they see, and we'll put those, detail those in a letter.
And are they getting a lot of... Do they speak to the executive and you guys about what they're, or we're kind of trusting them?
It's both. Yeah. So they're as
we're
environmental
as policymakers with regards to this is a proposal to halt turbidity and let us basically oversee flood mitigation and or say no, keep doing what you're doing and let the DECs speedy permit guide you. Where, how is that not policy? And how are we not more involved?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Well, we're not there yet. This is an interim proposed protocol that I only found out about relatively recently. I'm saying that we should weigh in on asking for the extension to the comment period. We definitely should comment, but this is happening. This isn't the executive's office that's asking for this protocol. This is coming from the DEP. And the DEC. So
the DEC put forth this proposal. Have we either externally had engineers like paid them to do basically break down what this proposal actually says? It's quite complicated to read it. I mean, I think you literally have to be some kind of engineer, hydrologist to actually decipher it. So before a bunch of laymen make a decision, shouldn't we have we done that? Have we externally or internally? I know we have, Dennis is a smart guy, though I want more than Dennis, but have we done that? Because we've had this for a couple of months, this proposal. What have we done with that proposal? But because before I and the policymakers of the county, in conjunction with the executive, make a decision on that proposal, because they're leaving it up to us before we say yes or no or propose something back, and if it's some kind of negotiation, shouldn't we better understand what this proposal actually says, the fine print? So what have we done in the last couple of months with that proposal as far as getting professionals to break it down for us so we can start to negotiate with the DEC? I'm asking you.
I don't think there's been any engineering review of the proposal, the changes.
Okay, well, I mean, I don't think we need to...
I think in our last meeting, didn't we discuss having Dennis do a presentation from the entire legislature to kind of explain the situation a bit? I mean...
They can't even begin to explain... I mean, Dennis can explain it really well, but we actually need a study, an immediate kind of opining by an engineering firm that specializes in this.
I'll recognize you in a moment. I just want to say I saw Dennis a few minutes ago, and I asked that they do that presentation. It could be to our committee, or we should see if maybe it could just be done by video so that the whole legislature and anyone
else... Who's going to do that presentation?
This is just so that there's a context to explain what has happened, how the, you know, when the agreement went into effect, anything that has happened now, and to understand what the proposals are. But I think that what Chair Bartels is suggesting is that we as a legislature sign on to the extension, and he said that's no problem, and he committed to do something, and at this point, with our full agenda, I think it needs to be in January, but a priority in January.
But in the meantime, we need to get somebody, I don't want to wait another month or two to have Dennis come in and explain what I already know. I want professionals to lay out what this proposal actually is. We all need that before we go any further, no matter what ends up happening. We will eventually do that. I just don't want to wait any longer, and we've already sat on this for months, this very complicated legal document, a proposal to us. Tracy, can you maybe talk to Nick and Dennis tomorrow and get something going? I mean, whatever it is, $10,000, whatever it is, we're going to need that. And by the time we get that Dennis and Nick's rundown for the legislature, let's also have that.
Yeah, I will.
And I think the big question is, does the county even have the expertise to do this?
I mean, the county has a huge staff, which is why we may not need to get into engineering stuff. But ultimately, what the county can be expected
to take on these responsibilities.
Yeah, but there won't be many responsibilities. There is a lot out there where there are a lot of professionals out there, David, you can speak to this, that don't believe that the reservoir is stopping flooding during storms. So that's what we need to figure out. We may be able to call their bluff and say, all right, halt it, and we won't ever, and then they can go figure out what to do with their turbidity, their dirty water. You're operating, it sounds like, off of the assumption that if we take this agreement, we would be monthly telling, okay, turn on the, you know, release some, there's rain coming. There's a lot of people out there, engineers alike, that don't think we ever necessarily need to release all that much to keep us safe. There is a possibility that we take their deal and we say, no, don't do it anymore.
We're not yet discussing that. Right now, let's hear from Chair Bartels, and we will have a focused discussion about this.
And because I'm going to have to leave before that focused discussion, I'm going to have to leave relatively shortly, I will say that I will reach out to Dennis and to Nick tomorrow to talk about it. I will get a letter drafted to ask for the extension, which we need to do anyway, which isn't about engineering anything, just to ask for more time to comment. I will get that letter. But we need the time. We don't want them to move on.
Okay,
we don't want them to close the comment period.
I don't want to waste any more.
So I'll do both and report back.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Tracy.
Okay. And I'm sorry that you're behind me and I don't see your hand, so do speak up if I miss you. Yes.
Okay, good. I'm sorry. I just feel like I'm yelling things randomly.
No, you're good.
Okay.
The only other note from the Environmental Management Council is that they urge the committee to.
I would at this point.
Oh, Nick has
Nick
one more.
The only other note from the council is that they urge the committee to approve the resolutions for appointments and reappointments of membership.
Yes.
They're looking forward to new membership on the council.
Yes.
We'll do that.
I expect that will be fine.
I
can't speak for the committee, but I do want to also realize that we have a guest tonight, and also Chair Bartels has a tight timeline. So at this point, I would like to request a motion to go into executive session with regard to the RRA appointments, and then so if folks would step out, I don't think this will take long, but
we're not presenting.
Speaking of public comment,
we're here to listen about the Article 12.
Oh, can we do that first?
I won't be here then.
That's why. Otherwise, I absolutely would give you a priority, but just step out and we'll send somebody out. Yep.
There's no cameras in there, is there?
No.
They are not in violation of executive session. Do you have anything else? Okay.
They won't bite you.
We'll send somebody out to get them. I think this will only take 5 or 10 minutes at the most.
Very good. Okay.
Oh my God.
I don't want to do executive session. I don't like it, but that's just my vote.
It's a fact of life.
Yep, that's fine.
And
I vote no.
I would be okay doing the interviews in real, but when talking about the people and what we thought of their interview, I'm kind of okay with. I mean, I would not mind doing the
Wait,
in the interviews.
Wait, did we vote to do an executive session?
Not yet.
While we are in executive session, and you know what, I didn't take a vote on it, so. I don't want to call people back in and back and forth, but I guess just for the record, a motion to go into executive session?
A motion made.
Second?
Second.
All right. And it's for the purpose of personnel, and...
call the vote?
I would like to give, five...
Wait, you gotta call the vote first.
Pardon?
If we're going into executive session, you have to call the vote first.
Oh, call the vote for. I thought I did. I'm sorry.
We don't have to do that.
All in favor.
We're going to do that. And if we can also, may I interrupt and just say that we're going to be inviting Council Gordon, Clerk
Vialba,
thank you, and Mr. Diorsi for the first portion.
Okay. Andrew Jorsey is here. He had submitted an application late.
Okay. I'll make the motion to go into executive session with them.
Okay.
I second it.
Yes?
Yep.
All in favor?
Yeah.
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed?
Phil's opposed.
Okay. And to note that Mrs. Slater-Lerner opposes executive session. And,